Hello there, Vinny.
Hello there, Vinny.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, hello. Good
night,
mate.
Oh, mate, it's going. It's going just fabulous. Just fabulous.
Where are you calling from?
Calling from? I thought you called me.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Well, we're calling you from Great Britain, and you're in Auckland. Is that right?
Is Great Britain truly that great anymore?
Yeah, it's fucking wicked, Vinny.
Great Britain.
Is it the only country that's
better than your shitty old fucking armpit of a country? That's for sure.
I don't know, man. I think we're getting a slight less of dose of Fukushima radiation this time of year. Although, due to the current dosages, where everybody's got a kind of part-time job as an incandescent light bulb, so.
So after that, the nightlight business by Steve.
Yeah, the Maglite CEO is reportedly pissed.
He's resigned and joined the club of the, resigning heads of corporate.
He just needed to blow off some steam, so he went to go see the DC Madam.
That wasn't a good one, Denny.
That'll do for starters.
Yep. So, Vinny, welcome to the lounge.
Yes, welcome, Vinny.
You're here with a multitude of people. We have myself, Sonic.
And I'm Steve Gaddafi from the Friendship Agenda.
Yep.
We Steve Gaddafi? Is your daddy named Muammar?
Yeah, that's my uncle.
He's your uncle?
Yeah, man.
Well, bro, I want to offer you my condolences. Those fucking New World Order Roth... Those bloody New World Order Rothschild scumbaggery filth reckon that trading gold dinars for oil was a real bad idea and thought that a country that had absolutely no debt whatsoever of any capacity was also a really bad idea. And they also thought a place where people were capable of buying cars and places for themselves to live and getting free education being paid for no matter where you need to get your education as well as the healthcare was also a bad idea.
Along with the free gas and the free electricity and the...
Wasn't he also greening the desert out that way?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's that big aquifer, yeah.
And 50 grand wedding present for everybody to use.
You got a house, didn't you? Or you got a bus to buy a house with, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, my dear old uncle, God bless him. Taking the rap for Lockerbie and all that, you know, you thought you'd get off with something, but...
Yeah.
That's what happens when you acquiesce to the United Nations.
Yep. Well, you can't...
Don't get involved with them crims.
The United Nations are like mice, and if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to want a glass of milk. It doesn't matter what happens, these... Ultimately, we're dealing with vermin here who will take more than their fair share at the end of the day. So you don't let them in the door.
No, I know.
And we also have Reset and Blue Green.
Hello there, Vinny.
Hello there.
And we've got Swami.
Namaste, Vinny. I welcome you with great love and great respect.
I have great love and great respect for myself, too. A friend of mine was teaching me to Spanish clap last night. You know how normally when you clap, you've got your whole hand together and you know, your thumbs are overlapping and that kind of thing. It's a big clap. Well, with Spanish clapping, you're kind of cupping it, and it's kind of like a faster one. And I picked it up really quickly, and he's like, man, you're really good at clapping. And I go, I know. I applaud myself all day long.
So you're a bit of a flamenco, are you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we just finished recording our first flamenco song and two others as well. So we're going to be using those little recordings that we did as practice. So I can sit here and listen to them and get the songs drummed into my head. and then we're going to go down to the cafe down the road, which has an open mic night, and play three songs and see how we go.
Cool.
Yay.
Excellent, yeah. You're going to get a bit of film behaviour going there?
A little bit of what?
Filming.
Filming? Oh, yeah, we film everything. I mean, all the songs that we've come up with, and I think we've come up with the startings of at least half a dozen songs and maybe eight complete songs, and they've just been us playing and singing whatever comes to mind and recording it, and funnily enough, full songs come out.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, what we were saying earlier about this is going to be a creative 25 years. Is
that yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Apparently?
Definitely.
Apparently the stars are saying that, Vinny.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the stars are saying, but I was out under the full moon last night with a big fire, and we dragged an extension cable all the way down from the kitchen down to the fireplace in the backyard, and we sat out there all night in front of the fire playing and drinking and having a good time, man. It was awesome. And so I didn't care what the stars were saying because I'm too busy looking at all the bright lights around me and all the people that I meet, see, and talk to care about the stars.
I visited New Zealand 15 years ago. I went to play some techno records for the good people of New Zealand in Hamilton and in Auckland. Rotorua also, yeah. And it rained every day I was there. It was just like Scotland.
Did it feel like home?
It did, actually, yeah. Some guy, the house I was staying at in Mission, do you know Mission Bay in Auckland?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was staying there, and some guy knocked on the door one morning, and my friend went to the door, and he said, "Oh, Steve, it's somebody to see you." I went to the door, and there was a guy with his son in a full kilt regalia with bagpipes, and he just sort of like, playing me a song, he's going, "What do you think?" And I'm like, "Fuck off." friendly people in New Zealand, I really enjoyed my time there. It was excellent.
What I've noticed is that there's pretty much friendly people everywhere, except in New York City and London. Incidentally, the home of Bankster Elite.
Yeah, but the friendly people in New Zealand visit you at your home. That's the difference.
Yeah, but you only about 10
well, it's because people in New Zealand still have homes. We're not all clustered into slave blocks yet.
Yeah.
But don't worry, that's happening. We've got all the Agenda 21 protocols in place, all the local councils, services, businesses, assets have all been amalgamated under Veolia, the world's largest water multinational. I think it's Rothschild owned. So now they control the entire city and everything that happens with it, and the council as well is putting in these big, massive contracts for foreign companies to bring more trains and public transport and building sustainable development housing complexes along those new train tracks and all of this kind of stuff. So it's like it's going to be Judge Dredd inside of 20 years, I reckon.
So have they started the Hunger Games yet?
No, but we came up with a convenient solution so that we don't wind up getting to the Hunger Games, as we preempt it and we have the Banker Games. So we get David Rockefeller, Evelyn de Rothschild, the Queen of the Netherlands, Queen Beatrix, and yeah. and of course Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah,
and Prince Charles, and Zbigniew Brzezinski, and Henry Kissinger, and George H.W. Bush. Yeah, you know, all these big crime bosses that have been running the world for so long. And you get them in a ring with swords, shields, bows and arrows, just like in the Hunger Games, and they have to fight to the fucking death. For our entertainment.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood made a video about that.
You're going to make a million on pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view, baby, that's what I'm talking about. We could make a heck of a lot of money off of sacrificing the richest people in the world for our own entertainment, don't you think? And incidentally, the greatest thing about it would be, what would you do with all their wealth afterwards? I don't know. I reckon we throw a banker games party, man. You know, it'll last for 1,000 years. I guarantee you, there's 1,000 years worth of alcohol spending, cigarettes, weed, ecstasy stashed in under Queen Elizabeth's pillow.
And that's just for the weekend.
And we will provide training for the groom of the stool to get another job.
Yeah, and the future will be like Dune. You know?
Dune with all the blue eyes.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm in New Zealand. I'm fond of sandy things.
Vinny, what's your take on the mass arrest story?
The mass arrest story? Which mass arrest story? I'd like to clarify.
Oh, I don't know how many are going around, but at the moment, Ben Fulford and David Wilcox.
Oh, yeah, Drake and all of that kind of stuff, right?
Interested in your take.
Well, my take is, I don't know. So hence, it ain't over to the fat lady sings, which is what I thought exactly before I heard about Drake and the organization and the mass arrest plan and all of that kind of stuff. Because you know what? I've had a hell of a lot of people float protests in front of me and pieces of paper in front of me and ideas in front of me and theories in front of me and plans in front of me. And you know how many of those people have actually seen through those ideas, seen through those plans, made those protests successful? Not a fucking one. Nobody.
Wow.
Nobody who I've ever met in my entire life thus far who has come up with a plan to defeat the New World Order by themselves has ever done it. So I care not what somebody says. I only care what they do. If they arrest these people, good. Until then, I am going to fight day after day, just like I've always been doing. Because those fucks don't take a goddamn day off. And so no matter how good the news is, neither can I.
And I must applaud you, because you are on every fucking day, except for today where you're on our show.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is supposed to be my day off, man.
Well, you like to come on.
Well, the thing is, I'm a radio show host, and as far as I know, radio show hosts don't refuse to come on radio shows.
It's the law.
Kind of part of it.
By your very nature, you are on the radio all the time.
Yeah.
Any conversation I'm having with people, it's almost like radio for me, because I think that's how I actually play my show most of the time, don't you think? It's actually just more like a conversation between two normal people.
Yeah. That's what we try to get.
That's what we do.
Have you noticed?
Yeah.
That's the excuse, anyway.
Yeah, man.
So how did it all start? How did you end up getting your show? Tell us all on the lounge.
There's a radio show. Radio host question for you there, Vinny.
Yeah.
Well, it'll. How long's your show?
Forever. It's infinity.
It's infinity. Okay. Well. Here's the question: do you just want the short, sharp, sweet version, or the extremely long, drawn out? Oh my God! This has been an amazing 3 hours of my life, and it's Vinny barely paused to take a breath during those 3 hours.
Have you got a medium available?
Give us the short version.
I don't watch that show. I don't have a medium available. but anyway, cut a long story short, as they say, in the greatest of Great Britain. I'm a very talented, dedicated individual. I've been walking around for a long, long time with a camera. I think it's like I'm in my fourth year now, I guess. With a camera and going to protests that the mainstream media basically never show up for. And if they do show up, they give them really crappy coverage. Like, and maybe if they do interview an activist, which they rarely do, they'll give them a soundbite, one phrase, one sentence about one issue. And there was no depth to any coverage. So I noticed listening to Alex Jones that there was no Alex Jones of New Zealand. There was no InfoWars. There was no George Nori. There was no anything. There was no alternative media of any kind whatsoever in this country that was talking about real issues like the New World Order and vaccines and fluoride and all of that. It didn't exist. So I decided to do it. And I wanted to create a company called Guerrilla Media. What I do with Guerrilla Media is I'd recruit activists, right, and they'd come to my site, and I'd give them accounts for free so that they can post their content for free and so that they can spread their message around there. And I give them access to my YouTube channel, which I can upload videos of any kind. So if that activist makes a documentary and they don't know how to upload an entire documentary, I can facilitate that for them at no charge so they can get their message out. Because I've been doing that video stuff for a while, a guy named Mitch Santel, who became my producer, offered me a position as co-host on a show called The American Freedom Report, hosted by Brent Johnson and Dave Von Kleist of 9/11 in Plain Sight. The official story is that Dave Von Kleist resigned due to technical issues. And then we cycled through a bunch of hosts or whatever. I think Brent Johnson wanted to build the show the way he wanted to, because he'd been a long time talk radio show host in it for quite a number of years, and he was very structured and very scheduled in his thinking. Like he typed out introductions to his radio show like almost half a page for example to introduce people to the show each day. So a lot of preparation going into it, and they didn't like him, and the show was starting to drop in the ratings and everything like that. And then they brought me on as co-host. All of a sudden, the ratings started shooting up, and everybody noticed this guy from New Zealand coming in and co-hosting with an American. It was a really unique flavor, and it brought a lot of character to the show. So they cancelled the show and gave it to me. and that's how...
We actually know Mitch Santel over here.
Yeah.
He's a friend of ours.
He's a friend. He's on the friendship agenda. I have a nice conversation with Mitch just before Christmas, and he was telling me that he used to be your producer.
Yeah.
He's a dude.
He is a dude, yeah.
Oh, he's... without Mitch, there is no way that I would have, A, gotten my show in the first place, B, gotten as good as I am now in the first place without his tutorage and mentorship. I mean, the guy used to have an office at Warner Brothers. He was tutored by the guy who brought Bobby Darin and the Beach Boys to fame, kind of thing. That was his mentor. So And my background as well, I mean, Lucy Lawless is my first cousin. My dad's a multimillionaire and inventor and orator and singer and a banjo player. And my mum is a poet and a singer and a nurse. So I come from good stock. I have a very...
Are you in relation to Clint?
In fact, that conversation came up last night. And we were talking about how Eastwood, maybe not a terribly widespread name. So by all likelihood, you never know. But I'd figure that if I was in any way related to Clint Eastwood, somebody in the Eastwood clan would have probably gone, mate, let's try and figure that out, and found out.
Fucking hell, Mitch Santel said, come on, Lawrence.
Look at that, wow.
Yeah, well, actually, there's a few Eastwoods in Scotland. I know a couple of Eastwoods.
That's because there's an area of, I think it's either Northern England or Southern Scotland, I think, it's called the Eastwood.
That's right, yeah. a friend of mine, Fiona Eastwood. That's Billy's mum.
Right.
She's Fiona Eastwood.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the name comes from.
Right, yeah, that's Lancashire she's from. And there's a Scottish person from Eastwood.
Did you just say Wankershire?
No, Lancashire.
Lancashire.
Oh, okay. Freudian slip.
Accent, don't worry.
I can say Lancashire if you like, Vinny.
Yeah.
It's the lounge, man.
You just did.
We can be loose.
Yeah, there's no FCC whatever regulations on this show, mate. Yeah, you can go for.
Well, frequently, you know how they've got all the, you know how they got all these alphabet agencies or whatever. You know, I like to play with words sometimes. So, whenever somebody says a naughty FCC regulated word on the air, I usually just tell them, "Hey, man, we can't talk about that." Because you know, if somebody complains to the FCC after a guest swears on my show and I don't pull them up about them and remind them of the regulations kind of thing, and I don't have something to cover my ass at that point, they could take me off the air, you know, like that's how serious it is, and we're broadcasting live on a network with 26 AM FM affiliates in the United States. We've got rebroadcast going across a network of, I think, about half a dozen stations here in New Zealand as well. So, you know, it's kind of intimidating now that I think about it. But
I heard your Thursday night show with Max and Santos there when Steve the Sound Guy rang up and he was like, he said shit or something like that.
Yeah.
And you were like, oi, don't do that.
No, that's fair enough.
But then I actually said, and I made a point of saying it, that the FCC regulations are shit. And the kind of shit that we have to put up with is unbelievable every day. And to say that we can't use certain linguistic terminologies to describe them on air with adults listening is farcical.
Yeah, I just think it's crazy that we invent these sounds called words, and then we censor these sounds. It's like, you know, why do people get offended by just a word? It's just crazy.
What I think is incredible is, like, how can you get away with saying the phrase the N-word when everybody knows what you mean?
Yep.
If everybody knows what you mean,
might as well say it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could come up to David Rockefeller and go, "David Rockefeller, the F-word, you!"
Well, I have a Marxist friend over here.
In fact, I'm going to do that one day. I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to hook up with Luke Radowski. He's going to show me where Rockefeller gets in and out of his gargantuan black limousine type four wheel drive armor plated drug dealing baron and Columbia car. And then I'm going to yell that through him through a megaphone. Yes,
I want to find him and give him such a paper cut.
You know he doesn't bleed, right?
Of course not.
Unless he's freshly fed on a small child.
And give him some ayahuasca. I reckon that'll be the best thing.
Oh my god, and I had a concept for a picture the other day. You ever seen Sesame Street, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dig this. Ayahuasca the Grouch.
I bet you Jim Henson already thought of that.
How do you think Jim Henson came up with the Muppets?
That's what I mean, yeah.
I mean, what's that Swedish chef about?
I know, yeah.
Well,
he's a chef.
No, he looks like somebody who's just taken a very, very strong date rape drug and tried to do a cooking show.
Got blood full of GPH.
What you should do is go back and listen to the really early Red Ice interviews, and Henrik sounds very much like the Swedish chef. Go back to 2006 when they started, they're really like...
Hello, I am Thor. Hello, you can put it to me.
That was Indian, wasn't it? Thank you, Father. I went to Bombay via India.
Well, you are living in England, so.
Yeah. Great Britain, if you don't mind, Fanny.
Pardon?
Great Britain.
Or the United Kingdom.
It's okay. Yeah, I call it the Uber Kingdom, UK.
Uber Kingdom, yeah.
Because you know you are technically ruled by the Saxe Coburg Gothas.
Well, we are, yeah.
Well, we are, yeah. Absolutely.
Not
yeah.
Technically, we are.
Have you still got Queenie on your money?
Oh yes, we do.
Because when I was in New Zealand, there was some Maori guy who was walking the streets of Auckland, sort of stamping on the Queen's head.
Well, dig
that
this.
She is not my monarch or something like that. And it was really funny. And we actually got on the news. We're like sort of following this guy. And we decided to go up and sort of check him out, see what he was doing.
Yeah.
he took our money off us and stamped it for us. It was great.
Oh, nice. I remember one time a friend of mine showed me a US $5 bill that a member of Rage Against the Machine had given him. And it had a message written on it, this money has no value, only love does. And he kept that in his wallet. And so one time I accidentally crashed my car, you know, I was fiddling with the iPod, stupid thing, you know. And I had to pay like $3,000 in order to fix the other person's car. So I whacked it on the credit card, took out the cash, and I wrote a message on every single one of those $50 bills and gave it to them. Circulate! Circulate! Yes! You got to have fun every day, man. And this is another thing. A lot of truthers, they start to get too bloody serious, man. You get people mm-hmm. who are screaming and what have you, and it's just, look, if you can't get your point across without using all capital letters, maybe the point doesn't need to be made.
Yeah, because that's just shouting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's just called text shout.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember this lady, who was it? I don't know, it was Amy Sharon. If you ever hear of this lady, do not, under any circumstances, bring her on your radio show. Okay? She starts to turn on you, man. She's lost her kid, real beautiful little girl. The classic type of CPS kidnapping story where you get the best and brightest and most well-adjusted children who are snatched at hospitals and things of this nature, and then they can't get their kid back. And what happens to these people who have that happen to them is they become very, mentally unstable. I mean, how stable would you be mentally if your child was stolen from you at a fracking hospital while you were going in and getting a breast exam or something like that, you know, and your child's just in the waiting room? Nurse just takes her along. Come on down here. Oh, my God. You know? But the problem is that these types of experiences can cause people to become extremely toxic. Not just unstable, but dangerous to everybody around them, because they don't see the lines anymore between who's a real threat and who's trying to help them. You know, I brought her on my radio show a number of times, called her when she asked me to, desperate, you know, she's crying on the phone to me, that kind of thing, and I'm recording the conversation, played it unedited, on air, you know, telling her what's going on, she's being evicted from her house. And just the abuse that I received as a result, you know, of helping her from her was just obscene. And going off and telling everybody that I was yelling at her and blah, 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 is just complete insane, made up crap. And you'll experience this if you become a radio show host or a truther or anything like that. There are many, many people within these fields that genuinely have been driven out of their minds by the experiences and the information that they've had.
Yeah.
Damaged.
Yeah, Have you heard of Darren Dioji?
Yeah, yeah, I've heard Darren on the show before.
Yeah, yeah, well, he stayed with us a couple of weeks ago, and he just gave that exact same story that you've just recalled about how many Danish people he comes across in his, you know, daily life where he gives talks and stuff like that. He just gets the most damaged people coming up to him, and it's like somebody, some people just found something to latch on to, you know, a sensitive ear, if you like.
See, I've latched on to comedy.
Yeah.
There is one thing that the bankers hate, and that's when people laugh at them. Well, ergo, that's the thing that you should be doing every single day. Because after all, that's only fair. Because there's nothing more than I hate than being fluoridated, chemtrailed, EMF'd, IMF'd,
and
mercury injected, aspartame poisoned, sugar overloaded. You know, these are the kind of things that are a daily reality for pretty much everybody, right? I don't like that happening to me on a daily basis, but it does. So it's only fair that we cackle at the bankers on a daily basis to help keep ourselves, and here's the most important part, sane. And that's the point of my show. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck if it wakes anybody up. I really don't care. What I care about, and the only thing I care about, is the people who are already awake and to try and keep them sane so that they don't wind up wasting their lives with worrying about things and actually become active and have the presence of mind and the good nature and good humor that is required to keep battling through this, because it's not easy information to fucking deal with, man. You know, you get some people like skeptics or whatever, and you say, oh, you're just making that up to make yourself feel better. Do you think it makes me feel better to know that children get kidnapped, 400,000 of them a year in the US, 100,000 a year in the UK? Do you think that makes me feel better? That all these kids just disappear? Do you think it makes me feel better that a quarter of the babies in Iraq are born deformed? Do you think it makes me feel better that now one in 50-something children in the United States is getting autism from the vaccines? You think that makes me feel better? No, it doesn't make me feel better. It's horrible. It's terrible. It's the most disgusting reality that anybody would ever have to process. And you cannot, I don't think, process it 100% seriously, 100% of the time, without losing your mind. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah. I believe you 100%, Benny, yeah, and absolutely. On behalf of humanity, thank you, seriously, because, you know, okay, I'm a Swami, I've got this enlightenment deal, but you know what? That don't fix everything. You still look at things, and they're still the way they are. You just happen to know a little more, but... You know, we deal with the folks that are just now starting to get into Alex Jones and all these folks who primarily traffic in, oh crap, there's nothing we can do. Let's get
our 10 years of stored food and head for the hills with our guns. And our 4 miles of barbed wire and bear traps and claymores.
And if you cannot, too bad. Well, most of us are in that too bad category.
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
We're just walking around doing what we do.
Oh, I am on the teetering of the edge.
Someone who has the capability of taking this dire information and spinning some laughs off of it? God bless you. Seriously.
You know, I told somebody the other day, I think it might have been around Christmas time, my mum's boyfriend, Tony, he said, Vinny, you're doing God's work. And I go, really? He's like, yeah. Giving voice to the voiceless, helping everybody else deal with the madness and everything like that. That's what Jesus would do. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. Jesus must have been a decent cunt then.
Carpenter, I think you mean.
Indeed, it was a typo.
It was a typo.
A verbal Benny, typo.
Can I ask you a question? Because, like, so you're on American Freedom Radio. Do you think, or do you, you know, there's a very big difference between the humour in America and the humour in, you know, where I come from in Scotland, right? But you don't seem to really change what you say. Do you think about it at all? Do you think about, like, toning it down or explaining it as you're saying it? You know, are you worried about being misunderstood?
Well, I have a New Zealand accent, and most Americans seem to find it very sexy, so I'm not worried.
Not the accent, the humour.
Well,
the kind of outlook.
Well, thing is, that because the humour is said in an accent, it makes it funny anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have an Irishman just talking normally. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I really can't imagine Alex Jones tossing off Vinnie Eastwood colloquialisms in his Texas I'm scared crap.
Well, see I'm actually still a fan of Alex Jones. And I do listen.
He provides a great service.
He's the man. I mean, basically, you know, point a stick at anybody else who has woken up more people. You cannot do it.
Right.
He's the man. It's just that simple. And I feel quite strongly. I know some things about Alex Jones that other people who know him very well and personally in his past have told me, and I'm not allowed to divulge them on air, or rather I don't allow myself to, namely because when you're in the truth movement, ultimately I think the best thing to do is not to blindly follow anybody or put anybody on a pedestal whatsoever, and you need to think for yourself all the time. And if you don't like what you're hearing, turn it off. You don't have to go and spend your life attacking somebody else because you don't like them. That just means that you will never wind up having a life because your life is based upon somebody else's, all right? And you have no center. That's what I think needs to be cognizant with people who are really angry with Alex Jones, and ironically. it's just, you can't really rectify the situation by trying to upset somebody who has done so much, who your life wouldn't have been changed had he not done what he'd done. Okay, so you give credit where credit is due. That's all I'll say about Alex Jones. He's the number one truther. He woke me up, he woke many of my friends up, and he's continuing to wake millions up as we speak daily with his radio broadcast. And me personally, I've found an interesting correlation between my style and Alex Jones's style. The anger level is actually about the same, and the humor level is actually about the same. However, despite the fact that the levels are the same, the quantity of each of those things is different. For example, Alex Jones has more quantity of anger talking about the scary material and what have you, and occasionally he'll just go into these songs or be kind of playful and you'll just be cracking up in your seat for like 20 minutes or something like that. Whereas me, I'll be that playful, humorous person for an hour and a half, and serious for about maybe half an hour of that, and more rather than looking at the facts per se, because I'm not a researcher. I look at the people that I'm interviewing, and I get more personal and intimate with them, and the humor I think really really does help to get a lot more information out of people, because they're relaxed, they loosen right up, and they open up amazingly. I think G. Edward Griffin, when I interviewed him, I think the humor helped heaps there, and because Ed's got a very very wicked sense of humor himself, and so I think when we talk about radio,
I have one up on YouTube, two actually.
Oh, well, hello?
Sorry, we've got a caller on the line from area code 973. Hello?
You're on the Dirt One Radio.
Hello. Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can, yeah.
Yeah?
Hey, you're standing going? Eastwood.
We're going real good, man.
Okay. So, I'm just wondering if you've heard of the latest conspiracy theory coming out of Michigan.
No, go
can you give us some more?
Okay, so basically, here's how it was going. So, deep in the statue field of Michigan, there was a man apparently with a gun, and there was countless police calls reporting it. And everybody was, like, saying, oh, this man's, you know, shooting up a pistachio field and forest. And who does that? Like, it's just crazy to me. So then, as he was shooting up the pistachio field, he then was shot, apparently, by a Jew. And now they're on the search for him, but the government denies that this entire incident happened. Like, if you look it up, you're probably not going to find much on it. I mean, you could try and look really deep.
So we've got an exclusive from you, my friend. Yeah. Who are you?
So what's your name, sir?
Who am I?
Yeah.
My name's John.
Hi, John.
Wait,
how are you?
And you're calling from the Friendship Agenda, yeah, or?
What? No, I'm calling about the conspiracy theory. I mean, why in the world would someone just go and, you know, shoot up a pistachio forest? It makes no sense to me that these rumors are coming out.
What is he not?
Someone has to say it. Someone has to say it.
Well, see, there could be the possibility that the person who came up with this pistachio conspiracy theory was a little bit nuts themselves.
I don't know, but
for instance, do you have
high on catnip? it was getting ridiculous. And
yeah.
There's so many factors that are just baffling to me, and, you know, just the factors of the pistachio fields, like, the pistachio fields are one of the most peaceful places in America. Why someone would go there with a gun is beyond me. You know, a bunch of penises might have had some influence, but I don't know.
Well, think about this. Have you heard any first-hand accounts from people who actually saw it or witnessed it?
I did, actually. My mother's second cousin told me that she was there.
She saw the guy shooting up the pistachio field.
Yeah, she says he was dressed up like Hitler.
And does
just
your
celebrating May Day.
And does your mother's what? Second cousin take medication?
No, she doesn't take medication. She likes to do the more natural way. She takes vitamins and stuff.
So she smokes weed. That's all the vitamin C you need, vitamin cannabis, whatever your ailment, essentially. But
yeah.
She also likes to, she also believes, I don't know what's wrong with her, she's a bit loony, but she snorts wood shavings because she says it, you know, makes her an innovator, a maverick, or of some sorts, I don't know.
That sounds a little bit nuts.
Yeah, but I believe her. She seems like a truthful person. I mean, she really doesn't have any reason to lie to me.
Yeah, well, people who see things that aren't there never have any reason to lie. But my question is, secondly, after you've heard a first-hand account, does that person have a second witness that corroborated their story? And if so, does that person also have another source to corroborate it? Because when you talk about journalistic principles, the first thing that you need to do is you need to check, recheck, and then check again before you go to air with a story.
See, that's the thing, though. It's not just from my mother's second cousin. It was like four other people or so that mm-hmm. posted some stuff on Facebook and Twitter, but the government deleted it. All wow. because they're trying to cover up the mass pistachio shooter, excuse me. I just don't get it. Like, why is the government covering this up? What could they possibly want with a pistachio field in Michigan?
Follow the money. What happens is, I think, well, in a lot of farms, I mean, this is a conspiracy theory to add on to your conspiracy theory, I guess. I love theorizing because you don't actually have to provide any evidence. Monsanto's been taking farms all over the place.
Crashed in it earlier that year.
Really? A UFO crashed in it earlier that year?
Yeah.
Well, see, there's an idea. Maybe maybe NASA and Department of Homeland Security want to get involved there. And
I don't know. I you know,
maybe the aliens were hiding in the pistachio nut trees.
No. See, this is weird. This is where it gets weird. I was actually at the pistachio field that year, like a little bit after the reported plane crash, as the government called it.
Yeah.
But what I saw really freaked me out and will change my opinion. This is why I believe my mom's second cousin or whatever, is because I was in the pistachio field, you know, picking my pistachios, having a, you know, a ball. And then all of a sudden I heard this weird kind of like thumping noise. So I was so curious as to what it was. I walked over to the woods in the next to the pistachio field and I saw a rather weird alien-looking creature masturbating, and he had multiple orgasms all over my mouth.
And you're very serious about this, are you?
Completely serious. I mean, I was on acid at the time, but, you know.
Now, perhaps on acid, were you hallucinating at all? Were you getting some of the visual effects, or were you only on half a tab?
90 seconds.
I took 14 tabs.
See, 14, I'm surprised he only had multiple orgasms on your face. I'm surprised the alien also didn't rape you and turn your skull.
Because it happened, each orgasm was a second away from each other. It, of course, takes a little bit of stroking for a human, but apparently aliens pleasure themselves in a matter of seconds, so...
Hey, not listen, sure. John, stay with us. The live show is just about to finish. Thank you very much, Vinny, for coming on. It's been brilliant. We're going to go have an hour's podcast that will start in about 40 seconds' time. So please, John, stay with us. If you keep on the line, you can stay
I'll
with
stay
us,
with
yeah?
You.
And please continue. It's brilliant.
Can you play some Gary Glitter?
We don't have any Gary Glitter, no, unfortunately. We don't have that facility available to us. I think we've got better than Gary Glitter, though, and John. John, please continue with your...
Oh, sorry. So anyway, as I said, he, you know, masturbated on my face and then fled the scene immediately. I then started screaming, "I am the walrus," because I couldn't do much else to say, because it was a rather awkward situation I was in the middle of. So, yeah, I kind of broke out the bubble wrap and went from there.
Right, right. And so, how long ago since the shooting incident then?
What was that? I'm sorry.
How long ago since the shooting incident was that from?
Oh, the shooting incident? That was 1967.
That's a hell of a long conspiracy to be kept going, isn't it?
Not to mention, it's uh-huh. it's an incredibly... obscure.
It was back then.
So let me get this straight. So
searched YouTube.
I just want to see if I can phrase
exactly
the parameters of it here. Okay.
Everything.
So it's a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory about a guy in a Nazi uniform shooting up some kind of nut orchard that had a UFO in it. As purported by a woman who snorts wood shavings and a man who took 14 tabs of acid.
Are you currently on acid?
No, I'm not. I went to rehab, and I'm a reformed man now. I'll tell you that story. I started really getting deep into wood shavings myself. I decided that wasn't the way to go, so then that's when I started taking acid. And I had a weird, a very, very wicked addiction to Coca-Cola, and it spiraled my life downhill, and I finally got, you know, the chance
really
to
screw you up, man. Be careful what you're doing. Yeah, what should you do?
Exactly. I'm so happy to be alive. It feels great to be sober. And now I can clearly, like, remember these thoughts that I've never been able to remember before, and it's wonderful.
There you go. Brilliant.
Well, that's...
So, Vinny, add to that?
Well, what can you add to that, really?
Enough said.
I mean, alien jismed on my face multiple times. I mean, there's just no way to top that.
Who could even speak that sentence?
Apparently I can.
Oh, well, yeah, but you're different.
Yeah. I
didn't Fatia Mutia have a similar story?
Apparently the Prophet Muhammad had a similar story.
Uh-oh. We'll hear about the Islamic fatwa later.
No, go on, tell the Prophet Muhammad, what did he do?
Yeah.
For the alien.
Well, he... apparently, the Archangel Michael, which some people in historical circles are claiming was some kind of angel or whatever, came down to Muhammad at the top of a mountain and started reciting all this speech, all these songs, all these words, and it filled the prophet's head with it. And he came back down the mountain after this incredible experience of beauty and sound and words, and he began writing furiously. And those
no, Grandma, I don't want ramen noodles.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mom, pot roast.
I said, Grandma. And I'm talking about ramen noodles, which I am perfectly full from the mashed potatoes she made earlier.
Well,
you know, I have pistachios in the drawer. What the fucking government? Don't put these here. Really?
You have to pull the box out of the pistachios, though, don't you?
The fucking Coca-Cola! I told you I quit that shit!
Oh my god, this is just getting ridiculous.
Never again.
Where did you guys find this one?
He's a caller. He's a genuine guy from the internet who's found us.
genuine from the internet.
Genuine guy from the internet.
Ask him if he has any jewelry to sell.
I've got his phone number. Do you want me to give his phone number on the air?
I think that would be a bad idea.
Well, who would call?
You don't need any more
phone number. I'm calling.
You know what? The NSA.
The big phone is government proof. And if they find out this number, they're going to kill me.
Okay, I won't tell you it's
970. I don't know, man. It seems like you sound a bit paranoid.
Yeah. I'm not paranoid. I'm realistic.
Is there like why the realistic concern? I mean, the only people that I see getting bumped off by the government are high-level researchers within deep classified projects that are about to go public, inventors and the general public who try to change energy or the general grids or anything like that. Those two types of people who get bumped off generally, or people who are trying to get rid of the banking system who are in a position of authority.
Here's why the government is after me, because of this situation. Because I've already tried reporting it to them, but they shot down everything. And every time I would go to my house or whatever, I would always see this black car. And I knew that he was following me around, going to diners, giving me high cholesterol, so I would die an early death.
Well, you know what you do? You do what we do in New Zealand. I talked to my friend and activist, Dan Ryan, and he's an amazing guy. Makes a cup of tea and takes it out to the black car that's sitting outside his house. Yeah. And he goes, hey, guys, you're cold in there. Here's a cuppa. You completely turn it around on them, man.
What did you say? John?
What?
This is getting tense now.
This is great. The greatest show ever.
Well, see, this is how you disarm people, man. That's why I don't get assaulted very often, because when anybody tries to, like, pick a fight with me or anything, I start making them laugh, and all of a sudden they don't want to hurt me anymore.
Yeah. Make friends, not
you never wanted to hurt you in the first place. All I'm trying to do you is share the truth with you.
No, that's not what I was saying at all, man. We're talking about the people in the black cars and what have you that are following you around. Are they still following you around?
Yeah, I see them right now. Hey, what's up, dude?
Have you got a portable phone?
Yeah, take
he's offering me a grilled cheese already. No, it's got cholesterol in it. Who do you think you are? I ain't stupid.
See, what you should do, John, is go to the kitchen.
Wait, maybe my grandma's in this too. That's why she's offering me ramen noodles. Fuck you, grandma.
What the fuck is going on? See, what you need to do, John, is go to the kitchen, make yourself a cup of coffee, make two, and go. In fact, how many people are in the car?
I've already said, I just said I to them.
No, no, is that just the one guy in the car then?
No, there's seven.
There's seven in one car?
There's seven men in one car. There's one in the trunk. I feel it.
You should have thought a bus.
Well, what you need to do is get a tray. You need to get a tray and half a dozen cups of coffee and one can of Red Bull for the guy in the trunk. And you need to take that shit out there to them. Like, on a tray, seriously. Go out there and welcome them to the neighborhood. Ask them if they're going to be staying long. Ask them if they're going, if they're planning to purchase any land in the near future. Would they like a blanket?
Yeah, I'm walking outside right now. I'm about to go talk to them.
All right.
Hey, sir, why are you here? Do you want pistachios or something? Because I don't have any.
Put them on the phone, man.
Yeah.
No, I'm not on the phone. Who do you think? No. No.
Just tell them you're on live radio worldwide.
I'm making grilled cheese.
John,
they're making grilled cheese in the car.
Are they making grilled cheese in the car? So it's a car with seven people that also has a grilled cheese making machine from Breville, no doubt.
Put it on the radiator.
At least the health conscious is.
A trouser press.
George Formby Grill, my mum calls it.
Well, see, strangely enough, I'd always...
I gotta run. Oh, my God.
Strangely enough, I always figured that a pistachio nut would also be a very health-conscious person.
Well, John has left us now, and that was exciting, wasn't it?
Apparently the seven men in the limousine got him.
They got him all, well... Well, we've got it archived, so if them bastards...
That has to be the strangest calls ever.
Well done, that man, yeah.
I think that deserves a mariachi clap.
How'd you get your cup?
There
we
go. Is that one of your mates, Benny? Did
that
you put
intense.
Him up to that? No.
I don't know what the fuck was going on there, man.
He just called down random. That was great.
That puts
looking for somebody like that.
That puts the andam in random. I mean, unbelievable. What the fuck was that going on there, man?
What if he was telling the truth?
If he was telling the truth, dude, look, first-hand testimony from 14 tabs of acid is not admissible as evidence. I'm sorry.
What about all the Coca-Cola you can drink?
If RoboCop was here, he could have run a voice print analysis to figure out whether or not he was full of shit. Yeah. Ma! Fuck you! You don't know the grilled cheese! Oh, what the fuck, man?
No, Grandma, I don't want any
noodles. I don't want no Roman noodles! Grandma! So he took 14 trips of acid and he lives with Grandma in a pistachio nut field with a car full of seven guys outside his fucking house.
And one in
the trunk.
It's a gold star for creativity, though.
Oh, straight up. Do you reckon he was actually trying...
Benny, isn't it?
Do you reckon he was actually just crazy, or if he was actually being serious, or if he was just fucking with us?
He was phoning in to have a laugh.
It might be a combination of all three. Regardless,
That's the first caller we've had like that, though.
Yeah.
Everyone else has been very lucid and straightforward. That's the first call we've had where someone just kind of did their own thing, I guess. I don't know.
That's the first caller that you've had that was tripping balls.
Just providing us with nutters at last. Yeah.
Well, see, it's funny the timing as I was talking before about how truth movements and everything drive people really, really crazy.
Yes, there's your proof.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to edit the archive and I'm going to just right after I say that. That's when I'm going to bring the caller in.
Yeah. What I mean.
I'll show you what to juxtapose.
Yeah, it started off quite good with a Michigan sort of shooting conspiracy theory, and then it just went off, didn't it?
This is a massacre McChicken conspiracy theory.
Hitler in the pistachio field with a machine gun.
Yeah. I was getting some great mental images, though, I must admit. Have you ever seen a pistachio tree?
What I love is that he led off with this guy shooting up a pistachio field in a Hitler uniform, and then later on we found out it was a 1967.
Yeah, a lot of shit went down that year, man.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Weren't people taking a lot of brown bad acid back at that time? I mean, wouldn't that explain a hell of a lot of really strange occurrences? Oh, I saw a UFO! Oh, some guy dressed up in a Nazi uniform and shot up a pistachio field because he thought that there were alien entities hiding within the bark.
Coming on my face.
Well, you listen to the guy. I'm not even certain he was that old.
No, yeah. He was a young guy, man. He's probably still listening.
You got boyfriend?
Oh no, he can't listen. No, there's no live stream.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he could have stayed with us if he called in.
Yeah.
Could have, but he didn't.
He didn't. No, he chose. He chose to go for those seven guys in the black car.
Yeah.
Well, what was the last thing he said? Was it like some kind of "Oh my God, they're getting me"?
So, something like that, yeah.
He said something, but it cut out just as he was saying what it was.
Yeah. Well, God rest his pistachio soul.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. His phone number's still up here. So he should write it down and phone him back.
Maybe we should give him a bell right now, but... Just check to see if he's all right. You know, did the seven guys? Did they
report?
Be like, bro, did they pull out the big guns? Did the guy come out of the trunk at last?
Yeah, all right, man.
You know, and you know, it turns out that it's actually one of the trolls from Lord of the Rings that they've got in the boot there. You know, with the chain around its neck and whatnot. You know, they open the car door. It's like some Cadillac. And you're
Mordor.
So what are we calling him, Pistachio John or something?
I don't know. What about Acid John?
Yeah, 14 tabs is going to do a lot to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or pissed acido.
You did call him. Oh, damn, I'm blown away. I'm honoured to have been here and witnessed that. That was excellent.
How did he find us?
I don't know.
Well, you know, Blog Talk Radio has got a website.
And he was
typed it up.
Yeah, now see, he really didn't feel like a Friends of Freeman kind of guy.
No. You never know, though. You never know. There's a lot of
maybe he's one of the spammers.
There you go.
Hey, Vinny! I just thought of something I wanted to ask you. Do you think it's possible that Bill Hicks is actually Alex Jones?
No fucking way.
I'm sorry. I was like,
do you think it's possible that Barack Obama is really a fridge?
Oh really?
He's a pharaoh.
Yeah, he's the.
Do you think it's possible that bulldozers can't swim?
That's why they have arms, man.
How random is that? Is that off Dallas Goldbug's site or something? Because Bill Hicks is a hell of a lot more of a frequent use of humour and sarcasm than Alex Jones has ever had.
Yeah.
You know, and he frequently talks about, you know, how much people should talk about making the choice between fear and love. And Bill Hicks chose love. Alex Jones chose fear. And Alex Jones sold a fuckload more DVDs than Bill Hicks did.
Poor old Bill Hicks never had the benefit of the internet, though, did he?
No.
No, that's true. Well, now he does, but God rest his soul.
Well, fucking useless, no, for him now.
Yeah, well, in fact, there's an intro from Bill Hicks that I do on my show from one of his old performances. I think it might have been close to being his last one, and I'd never seen the act before, and I'd been a big fan of Bill Hicks for a long time. In fact, I've got a painting of Bill Hicks on my wall that I had commissioned back in 2007. It's right next to my big marijuana poster and my stolen street sign that says Rothschild Terrace.
Thank you. Thanks. Awesome. Where are you collecting me? Yeah.
Well, see, they're my three nexus of inspiration. Okay. Obviously, there's the marijuana inspiration, and then there's the Bill Hicks, the comedy, the conspiracy, and then of course a something that I claimed from the enemy, a street sign with their name on it, literally.
It's Rothschild what?
Terrace.
Wow.
And down the bottom of Rothschild Terrace, this is on Waiheke Island, it's just off the coast of New Zealand, just off the coast of Auckland, New Zealand, about 35 minutes by ferry. Down the bottom of this Rothschild Terrace, on two sides of a point of land, there are two pyramid-shaped houses with twin Masonic chimneys.
Wow. Wow.
And these houses are identical. And they're on opposite sides of a headland at the bottom of Rothschild Terrace.
So is that for a Stargate, do you think?
No. That is where Rothschilds actually owned property. And the street was literally named after them. It was built, those houses were built a long time ago, like back in the, looked like maybe the 1940s, 1950s or something like that, back when Waiheke Island wasn't anywhere near the New Zealand tropical paradise it is today, with the shops and the supermarkets and the highways and all of that kind of stuff, you know. This was back in the day when it was real bush, where you could get right the fuck away from everything.
Yeah, well, that's a good place to do your rituals, isn't it?
And incidentally, we found on that property a very deep well, and there was also a talisman of some kind. So it looked kind of like a scarecrow, but not. That was very close to that well, and we were just wondering what the fuck it was. You know, it was just really weird. I mean, we didn't recognize the symbols on it, or the positions of the arms or anything. This was with my mate Will Ryan, and he's he and I we know a fair amount about the occult and symbolism and all of that kind of stuff. So we just couldn't figure it out. But anyway, yeah. There's a heck of a lot of fun things that you can do all day long, every day, and I encourage people to actually get out of the house and go see the world a little bit at a time, because you'd be surprised what you'll find. Usually Masonic symbolism.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And how did you get the street sign off? Did you prize it off?
It was fate. Uh-huh. It was hanging literally by a thread.
There you go.
The street sign had, kind of like the Rothschilds, it had become overreached, bent out of shape, and was hanging down by such precarious manner that I could simply pluck it with my two fingers and whip it off the thing. And then how I got it across to Auckland is another story. I wrapped it. It was Christmas, of course. So I wrapped it in Christmas wrapping paper. And then when I was walking onto the, and then when I was walking onto the ferry, guy asked me, "Oh yeah, what you got there?" And I go, "Oh, just a present for the missus." When I got home, I said, "Baby, I've got a present for you." She's going, "What the fuck is that?"
Rips. One of John's stories, isn't it?
She rips it open and is just like, "Rothschild, dearest, baby, where did you get this?"
Well,
got
it, Rothschild.
Oh, I got it off the Rothschilds.
They just left it laying around, so.
I just saw it hanging out and decided to bring it home with me.
What's the, what's your little picture up there on your?
It's an elephant on with a satellite dish.
No, it's a kiwi.
Oh, it's a kiwi, yeah. Sorry.
Look, you know, Steve's got the crap on.
My glasses are steaming up. I'm laughing so much. It's a kiwi with a satellite dish on the top of the world.
That is you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Eastwood.
And it's already Sunday where I am. I think it's like, what, 10:23 a.m. as we're doing this this little recording here. So I'm already in the future, right? And one of my listeners was saying the other day, something about it. And he's like, "Vinny, you're in the future." And I was like, "No, I'm not in the future. I'm actually in the present, and I'll never see the future. Because the second I actually get to see what I think was the future, when I'm there, it's still the present. And even if somebody from the United States, who's currently in the past, you know, comes over here, they won't be living in the future anyway. They'll just be leaving behind a whole bunch of people that are living in the past, man."
Yeah. Well, it's just all the now, though, isn't it, really? Just all the now.
What time is it, bro? It's fucking now, dick shit.
It doesn't get to quarter after now. That never happens.
Oh, half past now.
It's just now o'clock. Permanently.
The clock stops at now.
And the clock is correct more than twice a day. You know, and that was another important realization I had. I said this at the David Icke conference. I think that was fucking awesome. I got to speak at the David Icke conference. But what did I say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Think about this. There's actually only ever one moment, okay? It's this one, and it's continuous. Okay, so that moment has stretched all the way through history, and it will stretch all the way through eternity as well. So, in a way, we get to share that moment with everybody who has ever lived or whoever will. And that is an encouraging thought.
Very encouraging.
Very profound. Mm-hmm. 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 Very, very.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think we should waste the moments that this moment. or any of them. You know, it's just, fuck. God damn it. Life is very, very awesome. Why, under any circumstances, would you spend your life hanging around with people who don't inspire you, make you laugh, make you feel happier, or enlighten you, or improve you in some way? You know, it's just, our priorities are all out of whack. Apparently, back in the day, people used to have things called fucking mentorship, and we're friends with people who are older, and actually learn things that they didn't know already, and some people have forgotten that, man. You need to.
People have forgotten how to be an apprentice.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody wants to be the master, but the thing is, the apprenticeship is what teaches you the humility that is required of a master.
Right. Yeah. That's how the master got there.
I mean, I have people come up to me, and so many people volunteer for me that it's not funny. Okay, 99 out of 100 people who volunteer never do or produce a single thing. Okay, and it's simply because most people don't want to be successful. They don't want to fulfill their dreams because they doubt themselves, or maybe they feel like it's more worthwhile distracting themselves or something like that. For me, the choice was simple. It's like, Vinny, you want to get exterminated? No. Okay. Well, then you have to get up every morning and do your radio show and do the archiving and network with activists all over the world and give those people the coverage that they deserve. Otherwise, you're going to get killed, Vinny. Oh, okay. Well, sweet ass.
They get started then.
Yeah, it's an everyday thing, man. You do 2 hours radio every day, and then it takes you about, at a bare minimum, 2 hours to edit and upload those both to the website as an audio archive and to the YouTube channel. And after that, you know, four hours of radio, you're just completely wiped out. Then you realize you're going to make a whole bunch of other videos, you know, for bands and for speakers and presentations and all of this other stuff. It's just, it's unbelievable how hard you have to work just in order to survive if you don't have a boss paying you and telling you what to do. And that's what people are afraid of, because when you take responsibility, that is what gives you power. Power doesn't come with responsibility. It's the other way around. It's when you take responsibility for yourself and everything that you do, that's what makes you powerful, because nobody can actually stop you once you've decided to do something, if you really, really persevere.
Yeah, all about intention, isn't it, my friend? Mm-hmm.
And that's part of my... New Year's resolution. 2012. Time to stop fucking around.
A general one.
I missed that strap line.
Yeah, but this year everything's about taking shit to the next level, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, man.
The bankers are doing it, the truthers are doing it, the new agers are doing it, the control freak climate cultists are doing it. You know, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Today is, this year is going to be the great clash. It's like Clash of the Titanic stupidity, perpetual motion machine of economic madness that we call Planet Earth Rothschild D. Villa. And... And it's all going to come to a head. And we came up with a new word. I came up with a new word. I come up with new words all the time. Like scumbaggery, for instance. I love that word.
Well done on that one, Patrick.
Pardon? Scumbaggery.
Well done on that one. Thank you.
Yeah. Not scumbaggery. Scumbaggery.
That's a whole entirely different
word. That's my new word.
Yeah. But the new word we came up with on the Green Wave Radio with Christopher Green was snop. Okay, that's what happens when a snowball stops. Snop. You know, snowball's rolling downhill. It's getting bigger and bigger and badder and badder. And then something's going to happen when it stops. And that's the definition of the words, basically. Something that's been going for a very long time has been built up and is really big. And the big event that happens when it finally comes crashing to a halt. Snop. It's going to snop, man.
Yeah, I'm going to be slipping that into the conversation.
Yeah, I'm writing it down now. No.
I think S Club 7 are going to do a singer. Don't snop moving, can you feel the grooving? Rockefeller's going to cut off your head. Yeah.
Yeah.
With sarin gas.
I think you've got a hit there, Vinny.
Get a bit of a feet behind that, and you're sorry, mate.
Yeah. Done by Rothschild Club 7.
Oh my god, you guys, I was just sorting through top-rated extension add-ons for Firefox. Uh-huh. They've got a karma blocker.
They've got a what?
Ooh.
A karma
blocker.
Karma blocker.
Blocks resources based on their karma. Forgive me, that freaked me out.
Who becomes the karma judge, though?
I'm not sure.
I mean,
didn't ask me anything about it, so I don't know.
See, that's actually really disturbing, and it's made me anything but karma.
Yeah.
I'm less calm.
Oh my goodness.
Well, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm coming.
You're not installing that, are you, Swami?
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay.
No, no, don't install that one. No.
Yeah, work the camera blocker.
In fact, don't install anything for me.
See, now, it'd be interesting. Can I ask you something? In a Rothschild and Rockefeller industrial-owned world, what the fuck does the karma blocker not block? I mean, am I missing something?
I know. When is there ever any calm to block?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it should be a martial arts technique. Somebody comes at you with karma, you can block it and deflect it like Aikido. You know, make them do flips and shit. Like the way of the warrior. All right. Well, see, now this is an interesting thing. People expect technology to take over your moral conscience. That's what I take from that program there. I don't want to research into stuff to figure out what stuff's evil. I don't want to know. I just want something arbitrary to do it for me so I can have more time to snort cocaine.
And watch videos of kittens.
Yes. I'm going to be sitting back, cutting lines, and watching video after video from lolcats.com. As long as my karma blocker is on, it's like my karma firewall. It cannot be penetrated!
Karma block straight up to 10. Keep the edge, keep the edge. That's the karma
book of Scotland. Well, as a Swami, I am very proud to have been able to share this with y'all.
Right? Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you so much.
What a karma blocker. Oh my God.
Well, there was another device that got made up the other day. It's a silence gun. You can shoot it at somebody and it freezes their vocal cords and they can't speak. And I first heard about that, I think it was Freighter X who told me, he's on American Freighter.
Yeah.
And I was just like, fuck me, that is scary, bro. My missus is going to want one. I mean, the implication.
She's surfing eBay right now.
Well, they're probably most likely going to just have a spread focus one, so they can do whole crowds. So you'll have a whole crowd say, 9/11 was an inside job! 9/11 was a... and then, you know, the Fox News producer will just go, okay, Geraldo, go ahead.
Yeah. I could think of a few good uses for that silence gun, though, eh?
Like childcare.
Myself.
Or, when you have, what was it? You've ever been accosted on the streets by some kind of angry person who knows who you are, you know, and because of the position that I'm in, this doesn't happen very often, but occasionally it does. Somebody's got a beef with me or something. I don't know. I can't understand why. And I've come to a conclusion. Anybody anywhere that has a beef with me is a dick. And that's the reason why they've got a beef with me. Because I'm really cool, really nice, and really helpful. And the only person who could ever be upset with anybody who's cool, nice, and helpful is a dick. Pretty straightforward. And, you know, when you're dealing with this kind of shit, people come over. People coming up to you. You called me a kike. What the fuck? Straight out of left field. Silence gun. Yeah. And then just continue talking to the person next to you, you know, as I was doing before. Just hold the gun on them. It just like, she's sitting there, you know, mouthing and all of that kind of stuff, trying to scream, and nothing's coming out. Beautiful. But then again, it wouldn't have been nearly as fun as what I did do, which is I turned my camera on, and I introduced them, and I got them to say hi, and then explained the situation to them, and then made them look really bad. And I think that this is a lovely thing that you can do at protests, don't you think? How many protests have you guys been to? I've been to like hundreds, or it must be by now.
Not so many in the last few years, but I used to go to a lot.
And have you noticed how many of those protests were actually successful?
Not a single one.
No.
Okay, why do you think they allow protests?
And voting.
Because they don't fucking work, that's why they allow them.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right? If something worked to change the system, it would become illegal. Weed, for example. Yeah. Illegal.
Illegal, yeah.
It would change everything.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And I think this is something we all need to come to grips with, is that the law is an ass, as has been said many times. And it's an ass to do with everything. Every law's an ass. Because, hey, look at the people who passed them.
Yep.
They're all asses. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I think there was something like some guy affiliated with Bill Maloney, he exposed a list of 1,000 high-level pedophiles that are operating in the UK. I think 600 of them were MPs. 300 of them were still sitting MPs.
Yes.
9,624.
And did you hear that?
Yeah. 624?
Yeah. So that's every MP bar 24.
No, see, I'm not sure if it was that. I think it was like half of Parliament are pedophiles. I wouldn't say that every single one of them is, but then again, you never know. It is the House of Parliament, and there is no more wretched a hovel of scum and villainy. And the Prime Minister of New Zealand and his cabinet and all of those kind of scum, they're exactly the same. I mean, it comes from Wall Street, literally came from the board of the Federal Reserve to become the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Guess what he was in charge of? He was in charge of the European bond and derivatives trading for the Federal Reserve Bank. Bro, when John Key, I think it was back during the days of QE2 or QE3 or whatever the hell they're calling these financial instruments of atomic weaponry these days, John Key went to the United States. Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, and Ben Bernanke, the head of the Fed, were asking John Key what should they do to solve their massive debt crisis. Because if anybody knows about massive debt crises, it's John Key, because he was instrumental in facilitating the derivatives trade in Europe, which is the prime cause, many say, one of the prime causes of the financial crisis that hit everybody in 2008, which destroyed 45% of the world's wealth. Destroyed. Gone. Annihilated.
It's only paper, though. It's only paper. It's only fictitious. None of it really exists.
Oh, yeah. But if you have a house and you're actually capable of living in it, and then suddenly you don't have a house, that fiction feels fucking real.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And this is the problem, because when you're at 30,000 feet in your armchair, or whether you're in the prime ministership, or the presidency, or whatever, ultimately, you're not in everybody else's situation, so you can't draft legislation that accurately reflects everybody's situation, you know what I'm saying? And this is why the argument, I feel, is very strong for a strong local government and a very minor role of any federal agency or local thing. Like, local councils, I think, that's about as big a bureaucracy as you can get for a small town or what have you, without the potential for corruption becoming really overt. and the amount of money being able to be spent on campaigns and whatnot becomes a political incentive for companies. We have the mayoralty race for Auckland Super City here, right? And it's like the biggest city in the whole country, biggest economic centre or whatever. And who's funding both the candidates? Massive gambling casino companies. And then what happens after they get elected? Oh, yeah, that's right. The massive casino gambling companies incidentally get a massive expansion and way more pokey machines. Mm-hmm. And what happens to the community once more, of these gaming machines come in? The community loses its money and the house always wins. So there's no difference anymore between the political realm, and the business and financial realm whatsoever, as far as I see. It's all the same clique of scumbaggery that are running the whole show, and the corruption in New Zealand is now so open that I could literally throw a rock in any direction and hit a corrupt politician in this country.
Yep.
So you never are more than 10 feet away from any rock, from any rats.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same over here, Vinny.
Well, you know, that's why they call it the New World Order. What name me a country that's exempt from that definition. There ain't no countries on earth that can be
exempt. Comes from.
Pistachio land.
Pistachio land, yeah.
Oh, wait. Pistachio John is exempt from the New World Order. Okay, I admit that.
Yeah, we don't want fucking him fucking it up, or is it?
I mean, I got to admit when I'm wrong sometimes, you know.
We've just added him
to our Skype list, still John Pistachio.
Yeah, yeah. Hey guys, I'll be right back in just about 60 seconds. I've got to go take a wiki leak.
Okay. 60 seconds. What can you do in 60 seconds?
Take a quick slash.
Hey, I was. Yeah.
Let's put.
Hey, Swami.
Reset wants to talk. Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, I looked at that karma blocker thing, yeah. And you saw what it actually does, right, Swami?
No, I just saw karma blocker as an add-on, and I was like,
what? Right, well, what it actually does is based on, you know, the quote-unquote karma that, certain programs have, it will either, it's basically like an ad blocker. If something is trusted and has good karma, it'll let it through and let you access it. Otherwise, if it has bad online karma, like it's bringing up errors and warnings and stuff on different places, it will block it based on its karma.
Doesn't sound too bad.
No?
Yeah. So anyways, I don't think it's not supposed to be blocking human karma or any other sort of... I think it's purely to do with...
We can never be too sure, though, can you?
Oh, yeah. You can never be too sure, though.
Well, for anyway, those who are wet-wired into the internet, you know.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to have a friend of Freeman piece of music right now.
And it's called Our Seeds by Stephen Case. Is it?
Case?
Yeah.
K-A-I-S-E.
Oh, that's better.
What kind of world are we living in? When seeds grow up in sin, and they cannot stop to spin. Cause they're programmed to win. Say, what kind of world are we living in? When seeds grow up in sin, and they cannot stop to spin. Cause they're programmed to win. Look at this mess, what have we done? Our seeds grow up not knowing where they belong. Use the corruption every day. Go to bed and don't know what to pray. Jaja will guide them, even though they don't know about him. I pray for them every evening and every morning when I'm bad. It is no surprise that the youth is misled by all that happiness going to head. Every minute, every second, every step they be checking. Our young seeds' minds they be wrecking. Say, what kind of world are we living in? When we grow up being sin, and they cannot stop to spin. Cause they're programmed to win. Say, what kind of world are we living in? When we grow up being sin, and they cannot stop to spin. look at this mess. What have we done? Our seeds grow up, not knowing where they belong. Love to play PlayStation, cause the school system's pure boredom. I can understand, cause the teacher man preaches capitalism 24/7. That's why the youth don't listen. That's why the youth cannot listen. Our seeds take them serious. Stop to dismiss them, raise them not to be inferior. Every minute, every second, every step they be checking. Our young seeds' minds they be wrecking. In the world that we're living in, when we grow up in sin, and they cannot stop, take me, cause they're programmed to win. Say what kind of world are we living in, when we grow up in sin, and they cannot stop, take me, cause they're programmed to win. Say what kind of world are we living in, when we grow up in sin, and they cannot stop. Every generation got their own story, cause they're programmed to win. Say what kind of world are we living in, when we grow up in sin, and they cannot stop. Every generation got their own story, cause they're programmed to win.
There we have a little tune by a friend of, a very new friend of Freeman, that Dukeface recommended. We get on.
Okay.
Because Dukeface wants to...
Yeah, he sent a message around to get all the tunes on.
Yeah.
Are you back with us, Benny? Nope, still in the toilet.
he looks like he's still grabbing coffee.
Okay, cool.
What, to get lots of tunes on to Friends of Freeman?
Yeah, yeah. Anyone who's made any music to sort of submit it to the...
what's the group that's...
The dude face.
And the dude face on me.
Or anyone, or Reset.
Or you, Reset. Or Reset, Steve.
Or me, or anyone, yeah. And we'll play it.
Yeah.
You get any new tunes, Vic?
Oh, yeah, well, I gave you. What's his face?
That's an old one as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really old one, actually.
An old one that's been revamped. I've actually got some new stuff on the go, which can.
Excellent.
Play some something for you.
Excellent.
Rediscovering my trance.
Cool.
Got some great. I was doing this thing all day. I was telling you I discovered this Media Bay thing.
Yeah.
And I had all the loops going and all that sort of thing. And I was looking for. I was going to do something with Freighter. Because I've got a Freighter show on archives sort of thing in my system. And the only thing I could get hold of quickly was, I like money, yeah.
from
mediocrity.
Hello, are you back?
I'm back.
Hey. So we did have a question for you, but the guy who asked it has gone out for a smoke.
Yeah.
Have you got a band, Vinny?
I have a band mate at the moment. His name's Mike Pierce. He's a flamenco guitarist. He's 50-something years old. And
the fellow has been shitting you on clapping.
Well, it didn't require a terribly large amount of tutoring, really. It was just like
it's. Well, you did say you had a lesson, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, like a lesson, like put your hands like this. Okay, sweet ass. I mean, like I said to him, you know, clapping's not that difficult. You're just putting your hands together.
And he said, stop getting all Buddhist with me.
Well, no, I mean, it's more the fact that he's doing, he does a flamenco guitar, which is arguably one of the most difficult forms of guitar playing, where real flamenco guitarists start playing at the age of, like, 8 or something like that, and are playing all day, every day, to get as good as they are, because they're strumming not with just fingers bunched together in one strum or anything like that. They're actually playing with all fingers of both hands. So it's remarkably complicated, requires a lot of dexterity and skill, and he practices, like, 4 hours a night. And he's far more dedicated to the music side of things than I am. And in fact, I rely on him quite substantially to do a lot of the time coding, because when we do our rehearsals and our jams and stuff like that, we record all of them. And I upload the videos so he can watch them and then record and do background work and what have you. So now we're just kind of focused on nutting out each song that we've got and record it properly. Just in front of the computer or whatever, audio quality doesn't matter, just so that we can have it correct, the words and the rhythms, and we can listen to those recordings over and over and over and over again until the song's so drummed into you, you could play it on the guitar blindfolded, or you could sing it without even so much as a song sheet.
Yeah. Well, apparently you only have to do it 50 times, and that's it, and drained into you.
Well, one of the songs like about 7 minutes long, so it'll take a while, but it'll be worth it, man. I mean, because it's fun singing, isn't it? And having a jam with people and just coming up with stuff off the top of your head, and freestylers and rappers and things of that. I'm a freestyler, but I don't rap. I freestyle songs. And if you listen to my show regularly, there'll often be times where I'll sing along and I'll make up a song to the music.
Excellent.
It's a heck of a lot of fun. Usually involves Chateau de Rothschild of some description. But I think the New Zealand plays a pivotal role in the world today, not because it's of any significance, but because it's remote, and everybody in New Zealand seems to have a relative knowledge of the world around them. Like in the United States, when kids go to school, they get a map of the United States only. They don't have a world map. In New Zealand, it's just like, here's New Zealand. Okay, that's over with. And this is the rest of the world, and you're going to remember... You know, some lady told me, I'm from Asia, and I started rattling off. I think I must have cycled through about maybe 60 countries or something before guessing it was from Israel.
That well-known Asian country.
Well, see, it's technically part of the continent.
Yep, it's attached there, sure.
It's not really...
They get into Eurovision Song Contest. What's all that about?
I know, and
it's not sending a very good geographical education message to the kids of Europe.
No, they're also in the European football champion thingy, which is bizarre. You know, Haifa McCarthy, or whatever they're called, and Haifa Tel Aviv Champions League team.
Yeah.
Well, the EU is going to stand for the Euphrates Union before we know it.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Well, it's going to be Russia before it's anything, apparently, isn't it?
Well, Russia's already in the Eurovision. That won a couple of years ago.
Well, Russia did?
Yeah.
Somebody was, an Israeli person we know, was telling us last year that everything...
In Israel is
written in English and Hebrew, sort of thing.
And that was in
and
Russia.
Now it's in Russian as well, so it's
Either. Yeah, my uncle was saying that there's like such an influx of Russian Jews.
Well, they were so-called suppressed in years under communism, and then suddenly that was lifted, and they all buggered off to Israel.
That must be the only country that it's okay to be an economic migrant, and then... Because over here you get, well, not me, because I was, you know, I had the misfortune to be born here, but anyone that's had the nerve to move here for economic reasons gets pilloried in the press, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with the EU, the only thing that's good about its economy and the only thing that's good about the euro that brings money into the country is fucking Euro Disney.
I heard they weren't doing so well.
I rest my case.
They've just had their 20-year anniversary, haven't they? And they're try to get everybody to go there. And
go free.
But you have to pay to get them back out.
Yeah.
Come here and pay exorbitant amounts to watch really cheesy kids shit and put up with it all day long.
Have your retina scanned while you're at it.
Yeah.
So it's attached to your MasterCard.
Mickey does my thumbprints, Mummy! And Goofy does my rectal exam.
Yeah. That's right, because you are fucking Goofy, aren't you?
And Aladdin works for the TSA. Because he's a diamond in the rough.
Kind of Bin Laden, though. Living in caves and stuff.
Know what their code name was for Bin Laden? Geronimo.
Donny Osmond or something.
No.
What was it?
Geronimo.
Tim Osmond.
Geronimo.
Oh.
Tim Osmond. That's what. Yeah, sorry, man.
Tim Osmond was his alias.
Oh.
Geronimo was the military code name that they were using to go get him. You know, let's go get Geronimo. And which reminds me, incidentally, I wonder why they used that. Because incidentally, did you know that Geronimo's family is currently suing the Bush family? Because when George Herbert Walker Bush was being inducted into the Skull and Bone Society, one of their initiation ceremonies is to dig up a famous person, get their femurs, and cross them over one each other with the skull. That's why they call them bonesmen. And they dug up Geronimo.
No.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Didn't they have his skull?
That's what he's saying.
Haven't you ever been on a field trip, bro? I thought this was common knowledge.
No, I didn't know that one. And I'm a fair old receptual fish.
But it's posh, frat boys, to the max, isn't it?
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Okay, that's the end of the show, but we're still on a Skype call.
I'm
recording
the link to the show, and you can post it wherever you want, mate.
Yeah, well, I'm still recording if you're still keen to go for another hour or something.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
So that the Skull and Bones thing, it's just frat boys, isn't it?
Well, yeah. there's a game being played now in New Zealand and Australia called Possum. And what you do is you get a couple of your mates, and you get a dozen beers or a bottle of wine each, and then you climb up a tree, trees that are near each other, and you try and stay in the tree for as long as you can. The first person to get too drunk and fall out of the tree loses.
That's an Antipodean game, that one, isn't it?
and it's really catching on too. You know, people see the merit in it, and sure enough, broken bottles, vomit, and various other knickknacks that you'd expect from this kind of endeavour are found in trees all over botanical gardens everywhere around New Zealand. It's a possum epidemic, if you will. I bet they're afraid of the tuberculosis too.
I take it that's like the badger thing over here.
Yeah.
Oh,
what, you mean a manufactured story about some kind of a virus so that it gives you an excuse to poison land and other animals that incidentally get taken out by the same extermination practices that you're attempting to use on just badgers, as opposed to just using them on one small sector of the population? Actually, you want to exterminate the whole population?
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I
got a flyer from one of their people somewhere.
Yeah. We'll have my people kidnap your people.
Oh, yeah, TB sort of thing, so we'd have to kill every badger in the world.
I mean, you didn't even think of a graver threat than the badger tuberculosis epidemic.
Oh, man.
Motherfucker, when I look at a badger, it scares the shit out of me. I don't know why it does, I guess. scare the piss out of you two!
And didn't we all just have, like, when we were 12, all have, like, a TB jab?
Yeah, no, I got one. I've got the big old fucking cold needle stuck in my arm.
You've got a big scar there as well.
Yeah.
You're lucky you could even find a jab. My dad couldn't find any work at all.
Did you get that blue green, like, lined up in the fucking corridor?
Oh, yeah, all that. Like, probably, you know, it's like, were you here last week? Getting light again. Have some sugar lumps with some shit in them as well while you're waiting. Polio juice.
You know
the
one here?
Yeah, they dose us in America with that, too.
Polio juice?
With the sugar cube. No,
yeah, yeah.
When the sugar cubes came round Moscow, I ate two of them. I remember taking another one going, that was fucking great.
Yummy!
I'm proper fucked, eh?
Proper fucked!
Who's going to look after your gold in that basement and everything? Can I get your jeans, your diamond gusset?
Hey, did you ever hear of the invention called the Snuggie?
It's a
blanket with arms in it.
With arms, yeah.
Blanket with arms, right?
We call it a blanket.
Yeah, well, we had an idea, the Patriot Snuggie, and it's got its own armory and...
a bib pocket with some shotgun shells.
And...
Yosemite Sam.
In the front.
Yosemite Snuggie.
And
more and more, that's who Alex sounds like, Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I think Alex is good as well. You know, I get a lot of slagging. My friends are like, oh, you don't listen to him. But Alex is like black coffee or something. Do you know, you kind of, it's good. But you shouldn't have too much of it after midday kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Because you start shaking.
Yeah, you kind of start reacting against it, and that is counterproductive. But I do think, you know, I mean, he's nuts. It's become a whole sketch. But I know people genuinely that have just discovered them and are just going, no way, have you heard this thing, you know? And they genuinely are getting into real issues, you know what I mean? So what can you say?
See, no. Alex Jones has been described as the gateway drug of the Truther movement. And I...
Crack.
No.
Next thing you know, I'm listening to Project Camelot and David Icke.
Yeah. I mean, if the truth movements were split into drugs and what have you, Alex Jones would be the marijuana. So everybody can kind of relate to it. Everybody does it, you know. Maybe some people deny that they do, but they do. And... And then there's the Project Camelot one for the people who want their who like their mushies, their DMT, the expansion of consciousness is very important to them, and the very, very deep issues and whistleblower things, and you know that's the kind of Camelot group, and then there's the dark occultist route. With people like Frater X and Freeman and all the other guys who were talking about the mysteries of the occult, Passio and what have you, and what drug would that be? I think that might actually be an ecstasy tablet, because that's the one that's really starting to open you up to all of the pathways within and without. Using secret knowledge, and the New Age element is the one that attempts to siphon knowledge by essentially doing physical things, like, for example, meditation. I don't understand why people meditate, because I've never been able to accomplish fuck all in my life by sitting still with my eyes closed.
No, I think different strokes for different folks. Some people can meditate. I'm not one of them.
That's true. I mean, but different strokes for some people means they can't move half their body sometimes.
My legs are
but unfortunately, extreme. For the people who are having a stroke in meditation, they can't move any of their body because they have to stay still. They accomplish even less than somebody who's had a real stroke. I mean, on that rationale, is meditation a debilitating illness? You know, some people have chronic fatigue syndrome. They come home and they can't do anything for like over an hour. You know, can't move off the couch or anything like that. Can't talk to anybody. Can't make sense. I see a pattern here. Why don't you get the fuck out of your house and do something? I mean, you're worried about those kids in Africa. Why don't you send them a fucking goat? I'm sure they'll make it into a mean curry. You see, you can make a difference in your daily life just by doing things. You know, you don't have to worry or stress about it or anything like that. Just take action. And you find out that as long as you do, in fact, take action, you don't have to worry about the consequences until later on. Whereas if you take no action whatsoever, the consequences are instantly upon you. It's like, this is all that's ever going to happen? That sucks.
Ah, brilliant, Vinny.
I mean, it's part of my favourite, you know, saying. One of my favourite sayings is, it's in text language, it's known as FFS. Do you know what this means?
No.
It means for fuck's sake.
Yeah, for fuck's sake.
I mean, seriously. Somebody's sitting at home, they're drinking Coca-Cola like there's no tomorrow. Somebody died in New Zealand a week or two ago because the local supermarket was selling 4 2.25 litres, there's nearly 2 gallons of Coca-Cola, okay? And she was drinking that per day for like 3 days, and then she died. And I said, for fuck's sake, what do you expect? Yeah. Never a more deserving person.
Yeah. The Darwin Award goes to...
Right.
Now, see, this is the thing. People who are stupid and are really incapable of survival eventually just won't survive, and so they won't be around too long to irritate the fuck out of us. The problem is that we have people who are worse than stupid. They're psychopathic. And they have control of all the resources and all the money everywhere. So it makes the kind of problems that I have with individuals kind of a moot point, you know? How much time do you have, really, to worry about individuals who are commenting on your YouTube channel, trying to start arguments with you or whatever, versus an entire apparatus of scumbaggery, elite transformer type protoplasm of the human soul, acid eating through the floor of the Nostromo after an alien came out of your chest cavity type New World Order occult dark mysticism worshipping satanistic practice toe dancing hoedown scumbaggery filth, okay, that are threatening to take everything from everybody forever. What's more important than that? Do you think your quarrel with me trumps that?
The first one.
And again, I reiterate, for fuck's sake, get your Shiite Muslim together, people. Stop fighting amongst each other. It's precisely what those scumbaggery fuckwads want. You know, I mean, look, if you've got a problem with me, ask yourself this question. Is Vinnie Eastwood likely to come round to your house in a black uniform and shoot you with a taser so that your stomach acid boils and that your spinal fluid starts to explode out of your goddamn columns of C subluxations? No, I'm not going to do that. So don't make me your enemy. Make the people who would actually order those people to do it your enemy. Prioritize, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm leaving off meditation. That's it.
You're dumb.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Wow.
Well,
FFS.
Yeah, man. I implore people to use it regularly. I think what people have stopped doing on the whole is attempting to improve their life. Namely, because it's actually a lot of hard work. And instead of improving their life, they've prioritized trying to make this current existence a little bit more comfortable. For instance, if you're broke and you've got one job that's 8 hours a day and it only just pays the bills, and every now and again, you know, you might crash your car or you might get a speeding ticket or something like that, and you go overdrawn and you get slowly further and further into debt until eventually you've basically got nothing but debt and a manufactured existence that's built upon a pile of nothingness, right? As opposed to, instead of coming home each day and relaxing after your 8 hours of work and watching the TV and having a nice dinner and talking with your family and all of that kind of stuff, you're working. You're inventing something. You're building a website. You're practicing. You're making paintings. You're doing something. Something that only you know how to do. And you're trying to figure out a way of making some extra income of it. When you are tied to one source of income, you are a slave. That's why the best business practice known to man is MSI, multiple sources of income. If you have income coming at you from an array of different directions, if one of them cancels or drops out on you, it doesn't make that big a difference. If your only source of income is from that 8 hour a day job, if you get fired, you're fucked. On top of that, it depends upon your social situation as well. For instance, if you lose your job and you don't have very strong family connections, your family may not let you stay at their house and you can't pay your rent and you're on the street.
Yeah.
If you don't have strong friendships, all your relationships that you had with your co-workers, suddenly you realize you've actually got nothing really in common with them and you would, apart from the fact that you were in the same fucking workplace together, and you'll never see any of them ever again. If you don't have a strong sense of community, if you're not doing some sort of volunteer work, as well as hanging out socially with people, maybe going to sports games or just in different circles of groups of friends, whenever one of those main pillars of your life kind of gets kicked out from under you, bereavement in the family, loss of job, loss of friendship status, or a loss of position in the community, if you don't have all of those bases covered in the first place, one of them being knocked out can do an immense amount of damage to you. If you have them all covered, which I do personally, you don't need to worry about any of those things, because now you can just live your life safe in the knowledge that you know enough people and you have a good standing in the community, that if anything bad were to happen to you, people will come and support you because you've been the person there supporting all them that whole time and you've forged an honourable relationship. And this is how I treat people as well. I'm extremely generous and, like, for instance, if you go to my YouTube channel, by the way, this is a bit of an announcement, guys, I just topped 3,000 YouTube subscribers. It was big for me.
Ooh, right.
And if you go there, there's well over 700 videos, almost every single one of which is made entirely by me, with an activist or commentator, usually from New Zealand or maybe the United States, from the show and on the street interviews and what have you, that would otherwise not even be there. 700 videos of content had over 500,000 views. One person dedicating a couple of years of his life has dispensed that much knowledge. Do you have any idea how much potential the entire human race has if everybody worked as hard to do their bit for the community as I have? And everybody has that potential, but not everybody can do what I do.
Well, yeah, but everyone can do what they do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can talk, I can create shit, I'm incredibly amusing for some reason, and...
It's a gift, funny.
Yeah.
Use it wisely.
You've got comic timing. I think that's it.
Well, I did listen to a lot of Monty Python as a kid.
That was one thing I was going to ask you was, what were some of your comedic influences?
Monty Python.
Well, yeah, I heard that. I got that one. Thanks.
I was able to, when I was 11, I think, I was able to recite entire stage acts of Monty Python. Verbatim. Bill Hicks.
Now that's a skill set you can't find a lot of use for, but...
Well, the thing is, having the capacity to memorize things is much like a repetition and exercise. For example, the reason why two push-ups will every day will make you stronger than only one push-up a day is because when you repeat an exercise, what it does is it strengthens the mechanism that you're exercising. For instance, if you're repeating something, you're exercising your mind. It's building it up, not entirely dissimilar from how a muscle works. It's creating new and stronger connections between the neurons and what have you. So, in essence, even if what you're doing seems irrelevant, you can always find a use for the tool that it gives you. For instance, right now I have a megaphone sitting next to me. I'm not using it, but that tool is still available when I need it because a listener gave it to me. So, same principle goes for everything. You may not need to use it, but later on you might find a situation where it could be useful. For instance... I can entertain an entire campsite. I think there's about maybe half dozen adults there. You know, I was in Australia with my godfather, Uncle Chris Finkel, and I recited one of the Monty Python acts, and I do the voices and everything, and they were just cracking up laughing. It entertained the hell out of them. So, you know, even though it seems like a useless skill, it still serves a purpose at some point. And to be honest, who doesn't like listening to Monty Python?
Yeah. You can do it for yourself, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like that, though. I can listen to things over and over again if they pique my interest. Like, you know how some people, they can watch a movie, but if they watch it right again, it's like, it kind of kills the movie for them and they can't watch it for a long, long time? Mm. I think I've seen the movie Starship Troopers something like 50 times. The movie 2012 comparable. And I can do this. I don't know why I can.
Independence Day is mine. I can watch that over and over again.
Oh yeah, I've got that puppy on DVD. Have you seen the extended version, the director's cut?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, mate, you will fucking love it. It's like an extra whole 5, 10, 15 minutes of dialogue and extra scenes and stuff like that. It's a much more rich experience. And in fact, speaking of director's cuts, have you ever seen Alien 3?
Yes.
Now, did you think it was a pretty average movie?
Yes.
Have you seen the director's cut? There is an extra 45 minutes of that movie.
Is that one on the prison?
Yeah. There is a whole other storyline to that movie that got cut because David Fincher, who later became the director of Fight Club, was a young guy, and the producers thought, the film was too long and it didn't make any sense. When I saw that director's cut, like, I thought that Alien and Aliens are just classic pieces of work, and then I go, Alien 3, what the fuck is this? You see the director's cut, and it makes so much sense, and the everything just became so awesome that you couldn't believe it. And this is, I think, the power of censorship and the power of putting faith in people. Because if you put faith in a director, or let's say, for example, the listeners put faith in me to provide a good show for them or whatever, that's why they tune in. And I do a good job, but they don't listen to it or whatever, or somebody else comes along and edits it out, it fucks up the whole process.
Yeah.
What's going on here with public education and the movies and almost every single form of brainwashing, I think, is starting to have a almost a cumulative effect on the human race as a whole. because everybody seems to be walking around in some form of trance, like they're missing 45 minutes of the movie and they don't quite understand what's really going on.
Well, I don't remember who it was that said it, but I've heard the most basic form of mind control is repetition. And I mean, we're just constantly being bombarded by it. So like you say, it sounds like it is probably having some sort of cumulative effect that, is, I don't know.
See, and think about this. Mind control. Do you see it as a valuable skill to have control over your own mind?
Well, yeah.
All right. Now, ergo, is mind control inherently a bad thing? No. When you use it on other people for evil purposes, of course it's an evil thing. However, if I was to mind control you into thinking that you didn't need the mainstream media, that you just needed to listen to your heart, and that you were intelligent, powerful, capable of doing anything you really chose to do and well thought out in your life, and that you will be of great value to your family, your friends, and your community forever because you now are free. If I was to brainwash you into thinking that, into living that, would that be a bad thing? Technically not, but I would never want to do that because what you're doing is you're taking control over other people's minds.
Yeah.
You're robbing them of the God-given free will. So regardless if something is if something is inherently bad or good or anything like that, it's irrelevant. The only thing that matters is whether or not somebody's got a choice. For instance, a tax is good or bad. Some would argue good, some would argue bad. Do you have a choice about whether or not you pay your taxes? No, you fucking don't.
Yep.
See, this is what I'm talking about. When you take people's choices away from them, it's not good anymore. Regardless of whatever it is. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about government legislation, doesn't matter whether you're talking about family situations, friendships. When you take choice out of the scenario and you're giving people ultimatums, do this or face consequences from me, I'm imposing my will, my idea of how the world should be on you, that's when all the problems start to arise. I don't like imposing anything on anybody. Why would you want to? Like in this movement, everything's fucking volunteer. I mean, anybody, put your hands up if you're getting paid to be here. Nobody's getting fucking paid to be here. All right, doing it because we love it, and because it's fun to hang out with people of like mind, isn't it? We're just sitting here having a laugh, having a good time, all that kind of stuff. It's all good, okay? But
and now we can do it globally, not just like locally.
Yeah,
and do it wherever we are in the world. Just hang out with just friends, just in.
Yeah, and we can do it at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Now here's the question. Same principle. Is having the ability to communicate with people on a global level like we're doing on a Skype platform, for instance, inherently a bad thing? No.
No.
Imagine if it was imposed on us.
What, you were told you had to fucking talk to Ben Eastwood?
Or John.
Oh, John, yeah.
Oh. I mean, you mean if you'd be networked all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's coming. I think that's coming for sure.
What if you had Skype that your status was never able to be set to away or offline or do not disturb? You were always online. You always got people calling you, messaging you, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that's on its way. That's where we're headed if they get their way.
See, what's happening here is they're giving us the choice first, and later on they impose the tyranny.
Well, can I say what I think about that, right? See, what I think there's some, right, these people, they're occultists at their core, or at least some of them are. And they know there's such a thing as karma, but what they do, let's not get into it deeply, but they train people to sort of do the deed so that they don't indeed pick up the karma. I think the sickest thing about what goes on in society is the kind of insidious bit that makes people want the thing so they don't have to impose it. They bend public opinion. The, you know what I mean? The people are inviting it in. It's that thing about the devil doesn't get unless you invite him. People, if it was all about control, they would have fucking stomped on us fucking ages ago. It's about vegans want it.
Yeah.
You have to be in contract with them.
Good point. Yeah.
In Tai Chi, if you're sort of sparring, the idea is you might be in a battle or whatever like that. The idea is you just walk away. And what that means is if you're not grabbing onto the guy's sleeve and the guy, you know, then the guy's not got a hold of you. You know, it's about you wanting to stay and fight with the guy that makes that fight continue. I think it's getting the fuck out of the way.
I mean, how many people enter a boxing ring?
Three.
Well, how many people enter a boxing ring to box?
Two.
Thank you. see, hair-splitting motherfucker. It takes the participation of both sides, doesn't it? And that's what happens in a fight, just like in a relationship if you're having a fight with your missus or something like that.
Yeah, if you shout back, it keeps going.
Hmm. Okay, and I think it begs the question, is there ever a point where retaliating in a violent fashion is ever a good idea if violence hasn't already been instigated against you? And even then, because I've been smacked over various times, and I can take a hit very well, but I don't fight back. Like I don't think I've actually been in a fight since I was, I don't know, 14, 15 maybe.
Yeah,
I used to be a real violent kid all the time, man, and getting into fights and just stopped doing it one day because I attacked one of my friends and I pulled a big chunk of his hair out and. And then marched right into the assistant principal's office and put the chunk of hair on her desk. And I said, I just assaulted my friend. I need you to suspend me. So,
how did that work out?
Well, I got suspended.
Oh, well, there you go.
Got what you wanted.
Well, no, I got what I knew was coming to me.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to piss around and avoid a problem that I knew that I couldn't avoid. And I think it was on that day that I decided I wasn't going to lay a hand on anybody anymore, because there was never a point that I was ever able to hurt anybody or anything like that without getting detention or getting suspension or having some... angry parent call the police or something like that, and it would always end out bad for me whenever I would raise myself up to somebody, you know. It and I got the impression, I think maybe that impression is still stuck with me, that any time when I am even participating in the fight, even if I'm getting beaten up, I'll still wind up getting the blame.
Is that because of you? Aren't you quite tall?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
a lot of Kiwis are very tall.
No, that's bullshit, mate. Kiwis are only about 9 inches tall. They got long beaks and furry feathers.
Yeah, there's a picture there.
Well, that little elephant thing.
Well, incidentally, an elephant keeper in a South Auckland zoo just got crushed by an elephant the other day.
Oh, no.
It sat on her.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Did anyone watch the fishing for a New York cop with a donut video?
No,
it's actually worth it. It made me laugh, seriously. I was like, yeah, they're going to get their skulls crushed, but they didn't. And so that's what made it kind of funny. Like, yeah, that's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
So a barrier with some, you know, protesters. And they've got like a donut on a string and some video cameras, and they're throwing it into the, like, at the feet of the cops, and then they're dragging it slowly. They're going, go on, go on.
No, I must watch that. You put a link to that earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, it's in the chat.
Marvel.
I've just recorded that first hour and a half that we've done, and I'm just processing the file now so we can have it uploaded. Be able to give it to people.
Excellent. Have you got John on there, no?
Who's John? Oh, yeah, the crazy one. Oh, yeah!
Pistachio John.
Pistachio John, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He didn't come on till the podcast, did he?
No, he just before.
Yeah.
John, I'll send you the link, Vinny.
Oh, that's right. He couldn't have got on if he didn't. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want the link to the show, Vinny? Yes. Yeah?
Just there. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's processing at the moment. I mean, I'll start uploading it soon.
Well, no, the podcast is the podcast.
Yeah. I will. Don't worry.
Vinny, what system do you use to record what is it?
Well, I'm using Skype's call recorder. And it's great, man, because you can record the video from both sides of a conversation. You can either do a split screen, or you can have your guest who's got a big screen and you're just like a little one down in the corner, or the opposite way around where you're big and they're a little square, and a number of other ways. So it's really great, especially with Skype, because you can do screen share. Do you know what screen share is, gentlemen?
I think I've seen it on Camelot things, maybe.
Well, if you go, there's a little Skype symbol under conversations that says sharing, and one of those options under sharing is share screen. And if you click on that button right there, what you do is you wind up turning your computer's desktop, like the screen that you're looking at your computer right now, turns into a broadcast. So I did an interview with Stan Deo talking about... ancient aliens and pyramids and earth anomalies and all of this other sort of stuff. And I was recording it while he was showing me all of these pictures on his computer on the other side of the world. And I was thinking to myself, how many people can you have simultaneously on a Skype conversation? Like, is it unlimited?
You can have loads. I mean, we've
you know, I've used that same feature to help out Retta when she was having some internet problems. She knew about that thing, and she had me do the share screen with her, and she was going through on her Mac, and I was telling her where to go to find the things, and it was actually really pretty helpful. I don't know if she'd been able to...
Where do you find it on Skype?
This was a while ago. She is,
okay, are you on? If you're on a PC... it'll be under, you know where it says File, Edit, and Skype and all of that kind of stuff? Well, under it should say Conversations.
Yeah.
And then it should have Share Screen of some description. Share and then Share Screen. Or just Share Screen somewhere.
No. But I'll look for it. But I don't see it.
And it also depends what version of... And it also depends of what version you've of Skype you got, whether you got PC or Mac or anything. They've all got it. It's just a difference of where it is. And the irony is that you need to be able to coach somebody into where to find the share screen button so that you can actually get them to share their screen so that you can show them, using their share screen, what the fuck they're doing on their own computer.
Excellent.
Which can sometimes be an incredibly frustrating and long, drawn-out process. Technical difficulties are a pain in the ass. Skype, on the other hand, with two Mac users using share screen, is remarkably easy if you've got the same version of Skype. It's just like, I'm looking at the same screen anyway. But anyway, these kind of technical issues are a side note, because what Skype now allows us to do, and the call recorder technology, it allows us to make these types of Skype calls into radio programs. It allows us to make up to the minute video calls from anywhere on the fracking earth with experts at zero cost in 720 HD webcam, okay? This is the power we now have. We have the ability to replace the mainstream media's reporting and broadcasting apparatus with YouTube and Skype and simple video editing software.
Yeah.
This is what we've got now. And I say, use the New World Order's apparatus against them. use it every day. Exactly. And that's why you'll notice if you frequent my website, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, very regularly, you'll notice virtually every single day there will be a new radio show or a new video or some new content being posted up there every single day, because I understand how important it is to get the message out as quickly and as well quantitatively as possible. See, I'm not terribly high on the quality margin. I just figure, you know, I'll just step in and willy nilly fly by the seat of my pants, and
just ladle it out.
And I'll just pray that my guest that I've got, who I've never met, never talked to, never even looked at or bothered to look at their website, is a good guest. That they could pick up the slack in the conversation, and if not,
you can steal an hour.
That's what I did last week.
Well, the thing is, I've become so remarkably adept at being completely unprepared that I've become really good at it.
Expert.
You know, I'm just I'm a freak, I guess. I'm blessed with many gifts. And, I don't know, have you had fun so far?
Yeah,
man, Vinny, you're a fucking star.
Yeah,
man, I love the way you handled that, you know, crazy caller, you know what I mean? I thought you were a genius. Thanks for that. Just fucking retrieved the whole thing.
But I'll let you in on a little secret. Whenever my genius really comes out, it's always when I'm with people who I think are really genius.
Well, thank you.
You get it so transparent.
Yeah.
He's talking about John there.
I don't think so. I was more referring to all of you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, man.
Arisa, you deserve
and that's another thing people don't do enough of, man. Pay each other fucking compliments.
No, I agree with that.
I mean, compliments are like condiments. It's best if there's something to spice things up.
Well, yeah, you're always welcome back on the lounge whenever you want, mate.
Yeah, sure, man. I'll pull up a couch in the lounge and I'll smoke like a four paper doobie and by myself. And I'm quite a proficient roller, by the way. Have you guys seen any of my earlier cannabis activism videos?
No.
Here's a search term for you.
What are we Googling now?
You're Googling YouTube videos with the word daiquiri in them. D-A-K-T-O-R-Y. Daiq is a local New Zealand nickname for cannabis.
Yeah, daiquiri, yeah, I know about that.
And a factory.
Go ahead on that, mate.
Yeah. So it's a so it's a factory full of daiquiri. The daiquiri.
Daiquiri, there you go.
All right. Now, this is a two-story warehouse in West Auckland, not 2 minutes' drive from here, where they have the largest selection in the country of cannabis for sale, and it's completely illegal. And you pay $5 as a membership fee to go in. They've got the security doors and all of that kind of stuff. And occasionally, every couple of years, the cops will come in and bust them. They just got busted again recently with $27,000 worth of money on the premises. And they had a vending machine called Dacta Vendor, and everybody who becomes a member of the Dactory can have, if they want, an alias, a Dacta name, if they don't use their real name or whatever in the Dactory, you know. So I've been given several names, and the name I chose for myself is Dacta Vinnyman. I was one of the founding members of the Dactory, one of the first 420. And I've been given other names such as Dacta No, as in K-N-O-W, and also Dacta Hoover, with the obvious correlation because I can suck up marijuana smoke like nobody's business, like a Hoover. And this project that called The Dactyry is headed by a guy named Dr. Green, who's been to jail before in the United States for growing cannabis, and he was previously a very, very rampant prohibitionist until one night, I think on his 40th birthday, his son handed him a joint, and he had a smoke of it, and he says, you know, I woke up the next morning, I was no longer a prohibitionist, and I've been campaigning tirelessly pretty much ever since to get cannabis legalized. And he's a very interesting dude, this Dr. Green. He used to be known as Ken Morgan. Now, here's the cool thing. Back in the day, like in the 70s, you know how there used to be restrictions on days you could shop on? Like, for example, you weren't allowed to shop on Saturdays or whatever. Ken Morgan is the man who actually organised the local Auckland business community to have Saturday shopping. He made sure that they had a big market every Saturday in the local square, completely illegal, in defiance of the local council's laws to demand that they stay closed on Saturday, because people want to go out and they want to spend some free time, do a bit of retail therapy on Saturdays, that kind of thing, and it was just madness. So they did it in clear breach of the law. He got his way, though. We wound up with Saturday shopping. And then later on, in the 80s, he became a staunch campaigner for the right to have casinos in New Zealand, because at the time, casinos were illegal. And so he bought this ship called the Casino Royale, and he sailed the ship with, of course, a heck of a lot of patrons on board who had been... bust in from pretty much all sectors of the country, really, to come on the ship for one night, cruising out into international waters and gambling the night away. Okay? And soon thereafter, gambling was legalized in New Zealand. And now Dr. Green's turned his perspective on to cannabis. And he said that, you know, soon cannabis will be legal and there will be a regulated market for adults. And I think that time will prove him to be correct, as it has in previous times as well.
Did you hear about,
and he's currently in jail. He got, I think, a couple of years. I think maybe 3 years for possession.
Fucking hell, I'm okay now.
Yeah, and also there was he was supposed to have a sentence reduced, but it got even increased. So I think he might even be in there for another year or something like that. They really are trying to keep him down, and if you have a look through the Dactory videos, they'll all be done on an account called Eastwood Vincent. That was my very first YouTube account, which I mostly just use for dance party videos and stuff now, but there's plenty of cannabis videos on there from my earlier activism involved with them. I don't do too much cannabis activism these days, namely because there's a lot of really, really important stuff going on in a lot of sectors, and it's only occasionally where cannabis will reach the headlines and me want to, you know, go ahead and find some of the cannabis commentators in the New Zealand community, ask them questions on air, and give the people the information on the subject while it's topical, sort of thing. But other than that, as you've seen throughout the entire broadcast tonight, I've mentioned it many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you heard about
Rick Holland Simpson?
Amsterdam, they're stopping selling it for tourists now.
For everyone?
Stopping selling it to who?
Introducing what's called the weed pass, and you can only get a weed pass if you're a Dutcher.
Yeah.
You can only get one if you register with them and say that you're that you smoke weed. Yeah, so it's not. It's.
Did
it's
you know?
I'm going to get a fucking hard time. It's like, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's like somebody
it
said.
He came in on Monday. He came in on the
3rd. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I believe you. I read the news and all that. But what I'm saying is, like, it's not by popular demand or anything, and it's not going to do the tourist industry any good. And it's.
France has 1 million French people go to Amsterdam every year specifically to smoke weed.
But they're going to be, like, watched now. You know, that way, that's what it's playing into. It's like, the people that go there and do that, they're terrorists now. Do you know what I mean? So you can keep a file on them. It's all that. It's just criminalising normal behaviour.
Yeah, they were saying that it was to stop people
going to, particularly, because I think they brought it in Maastricht first as a trial, because Maastricht is like on a little like peninsula of Holland, of the Netherlands, that's surrounded by like Belgium and Germany. So all the Germans were just going to Maastricht just to get some weed, for, you know, half an hour drive, and then just back over. So they were like saying that it was because they didn't want people taking it out of the country. And it's like, well, that's what I did. That's what I used to do on my holidays all the time. Just go to fucking Amsterdam and then just drive around Europe.
Well, see, there's a lot to be said for how you can live your life. Like, for instance, if you go to a safe establishment and you consume a substance that induces euphoria, and you're doing it with people who are your friends or other social colleagues, what's inherently wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing.
Fucking nothing, mate. No, nobody got hurt. You know, I mean, if anything, if you're ingesting a substance that induces euphoria the way cannabis does euphoria, the biggest argument you're going to have is like, as Bill Hicks said, "Hey, buddy, it what?" End of argument. You know, there's no argument. What? I mean, what's a stone person going to do? Get aggressive and what is he going to do? Smoke you out of your cave or something like that? They should have tried that on Geronimo. See if Tim Osman was keen to come out of his house at the prospect of a few ounces. So,
yeah.
Timbo, come over here, cuz we'll hook you up with some mean weed. Straight from the Middle East, bro. Put a hump on a camel's back. Just like back in Saudi, mate. This'll be like an oil rig going up the smokes that strong. It'll be fucking Gulf of Mexico up in here, boy. You're going to need some Corexit to sober you up after you smoke that shit, motherfucker.
I have to sort of call timeline because it's 10 to 1 in the morning and I'm falling asleep.
Are you working
tomorrow? I'm working tomorrow, on a Sunday.
Oh, no luck. Listen, guys, that's been great. Thanks a lot.
I know. Thanks a lot, Benny. And we'll do
Johnny,
it.
Yeah, your services.
You are a treasure to this planet, my friend.
Well, thank you.
That's been a good laugh.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoyed your company, and it's been good to have a few laughs and have a bit of a rant on my nice Sunday off, you know?
Thanks for doing that. It's been brilliant.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of the day, mate.
All right, so last thing I like to do is I'm a believer that there's nothing shameful about shameless self-promotion. So if anybody's listening to this and you would like to listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 5 till 7 Central Time, which is about, I think, 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. UK time, and 10 a.m. till midday New Zealand time, you can. And if you'd like to listen to archives commercial-free, which if you listen every day, I think would probably save you about 10 hours a month, it's only $5. Plus, you get exclusive off-air video interviews that I do with top activists and patriots from around the world. So go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and support what I'm doing and give me some support, man.
Is that New Zealand dollars?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't even equate in our mind.
Well, a New Zealand dollar is about half of a little bit more, maybe three quarters of a US dollar, but about half of a euro and about a third of a pound.
It's about 30p, about 35p.
Okay, so if you're talking about from the UK, 5 New Zealand dollars would be, pound and a half?
Pound and a half, yeah.
Pound and a half a month for commercial-free archives. Never have to listen to advertisements again.
There's something that's going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, I do have a righteous cackle.
Yeah. I should be subscribing, Vinny.
Well, you know,
after I've had a good night's sleep.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Subscribing to me is like supporting the whole truth movement, because practically everybody's been on my show. I set the bar incredibly low.
I can't believe that you got Henrik on. He never does interviews.
Well, I don't know. Again, I think it's because I'm from New Zealand, and that makes me inherently non-threatening. I'm like a guy wearing a pink shirt.
I only think it's a new territory they can maybe open up.
Yeah.
The TV market.
Red ice down under.
Red undies. Right, listen, guys, I'm off. I'll talk to you later, right?
See you.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care.
Thanks, Reset. Thanks, Vinny.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brighton.
Yep, cheers, see you, Blue Green.